Well, welcome to the first of the elder training sessions, and pleased to have whoever's on there with me. Now, this is kind of an odd situation. You can tell that I'm up in the choir loft. The sanctuary is empty and silent, so it's a little difficult knowing I'm just speaking to a camera and not having having people looking at me while I'm talking. So you have to bear with me as I kind of get my feel for this. I'm pleased to be able to start this, and I think there's a lot of advantages being able to use the webcast system that we have. The biggest advantage is probably for you. You're at home and didn't have to come in here and find parking somewhere. You're able to be with your family, and so I hope you're able to appreciate that. Furthermore, I've already received a number of comments of elders saying that they're looking forward to viewing this and listening to it, but they have a Bible study or some other place, and they can't tune in tonight. And yet they'll be able to do that hopefully within a week, that we'll have things downloaded on the archive website. Now, another advantage for this is going to allow our series of training sessions to be open-ended. And what I mean by that is that we don't have to do a six-week or a 12-week series on certain topics and try to get everything fitted in as we can, but we'll go on as long as we would like to on any particular topic. There will actually be weeks in which I'm unavailable, and so we'll take a week off, or in summer, when we go on vacation, we'll take some more time off and then just come back wherever we are. One other advantage is that I anticipate there being a wider audience over time. Particularly, would like to see other 10th leaders and just any 10th member tuning in and seeing what we're talking about as elders. Now, what I'll be doing is a series of topics specifically geared for 10th elders, things that we want to learn about in shepherding our folks. It'll be more than, though, in just my time just going through these topics. I hope to have other people come in and lead sessions. Maybe I'll get some of you to come in and share from your experiences, and or we'll bring others in from the church, learn about their ministries, and so on. Sometimes, perhaps, I doubt I'll do it this year, but when we have PCRT, take advantage of interviewing some of the speakers and being able to present them for this. Now, I want to take time to thank the people who have made this all possible. And first of all is John Voorhis. And really, it is because of the vision of John and Tobias and others who have been involved with IT that we have webcasting. You know, 10 years ago, when I was here before, I was trying to think of a way, how could we provide elder training and have it in a way in which everybody can come? And I couldn't figure out that way because, as elders, you are busy. But this now has become the solution. John has been helping me out now to set these things up, and he's monitoring it right now. I want to also thank Michael Harris, who came in earlier, has taught me how to turn on the cameras and the sound from the sound booth. Nick Batzig, my intern, has been of great help. First of all, meeting with John, talking with him and Michael, and making the arrangements, figuring out how this was all going to work. And also want to thank Paul Jones, who's shown me how to use the lights, and but graciously, and the main thing is, he's working around his rehearsals so that I can be here. I think he's up in Fellowship Hall right now, and when I'm done, he'll come here with his violinist and do some rehearsals. Now, how to best make use of these sessions here? Now, I'm going to be speaking for the next half hour from 8 to 8:30 on the topic, and during that time, what I want you to be thinking about is or questions that you may have for me or comments that you may have. And then email them to me at my 10th address. That's mclark@10th.org. Assuming that I get some from you, what we'll do in the next half hour is then I will read the questions or comments, and respond to them. So we'll go as late as 9 o'clock. If there are no questions or a few questions, we'll end earlier to that. But again, be thinking about that. Have your computers ready and ready to email me at that address. Now, our topic tonight is the subject of the elder as shepherd. You know, we've heard the question, of course, it comes from Shakespeare, what's in a name? Well, what's in a name, and particularly when it comes to titles and how we use certain terms, influences just the way we think. It sets the tone for how we understand, in our particular case, what an elder is to be. So we're called elders. Some of us are called, as myself and Phil, are teaching elders. Others are called, as most of you who are listening in on this, are called ruling elders. Now, what does that signify? What kind of image do people have or tone that it gives to them? Well, probably for those of us who are teaching elders, they tend to think more in terms of scholarly teaching. If they want to know about the Bible, they'll probably contact one of us who are the teaching elders. If they want to hear something from the Bible, again, they'll think more likely to contact a teaching elder. Ruling elders, what do they perhaps typically think about as well? Those are the elders who govern, who watch over, who rule, using that term, the church. What I want us to be thinking about is reclaiming the biblical term of shepherd. And that term is what most succinctly explains what elders are and do. Let me read from 1 Peter chapter 5. And this is the main text in the New Testament that speaks of the elders as being shepherds. Peter writes, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." So note what it is that he says to the elders, shepherd the flock. Then the rest is explaining a little bit about how that shepherding is to be done or in what spirit it is to be done. Paul doesn't typically use that term, or I'm not quite sure of him using that actually specifically of elders, although in Acts 20, verse 28, when he is talking with the elders at Ephesus, he speaks to them, he speaks to them again of being overseers, watching out for their flock. And so he's thinking again of that term of them being shepherds over their flock. Now let's think about this for the rest of our time. I want us, what is the image that a shepherd conveys? When I was looking over the scriptures in preparation for this, there were three, I guess, categories or images that came to my mind that's associated with the shepherd, at least as the scriptures present it. One is that of a shepherd who gives tender care. Secondly, a shepherd is one who provides sacrificial service. And then thirdly, a shepherd is one who provides courageous protection. Now let's go over those three concepts. First of all, with tender care. Now the psalm that everyone, of course, associates most of all with that of the shepherd is Psalm 23. Now consider these couple of verses in that psalm that denotes this concept of tender care. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Again, think of these images. He causes the sheep to lie down in green pastures where they can rest, be at ease. He leads them beside the still waters. He leads them in the paths of righteousness. He's not pushing them. He's not pulling them. He's not forcing them. He is leading them, calling them by name. He restores the soul of his people. Now, Ezekiel chapter 34 provides actually the most extensive treatment of the duties of shepherd elders, but it does so in the context of condemning what they do not do. And actually, I think perhaps in any of the prophets, when it speaks of the shepherds, it unfortunately has to do with how they're not carrying out their roles. But as we look at what they're neglecting to do, we can look at then what's the opposite and see what it is that a good shepherd is to be doing for his flock. So let's consider from the criticisms that are being singled out here, what tender care is expected. Again, in Ezekiel 34, it says in verse 2, "Thus says the Lord God, Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones. But you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them." Okay, so taking those verses, let's see what shepherds ought to be doing. Well, they should be feeding their flock. They should be strengthening the weak. They should be healing the sick. They should be binding up the wounds of the injured. They should be bringing back those who have strayed, who are lost. They should be ruling over the flock, yes, but they should be doing it with tenderness and kindness. So again, you see these concepts of tender care. There are those who, so for example, in our own church, they're weak. They're weak in the faith. They're weak in their abilities to live out, to grow in the faith as they ought to be doing. We need to come alongside them. We need to be encouraging them, building them up, so that as we do come alongside, they feel they're welcoming what we're doing for them and they're feeling stronger. You mentioned shepherds should feed the flock. Now, obviously, we think in terms of the elders, and particularly teaching elders, feeding the flock with the word. But as we're going to be discussing at another time, the word is for all elders to use. And indeed, that is the major tool by which we're to come alongside our people and build them up by feeding them the word of God. Again, note these, bind up the wounds of the injured. So many times the way that our people act and the sins that they commit, they're acting out of their injuries. And it's up to us to be able to come alongside and help them. People who have been battered, who have been abused. There are many people like that who come to 10th. They come, they sit in the pews, they sit in the back, and they've just been hurting. Such people, we need to seek out and help them. Bring back those who have strayed, those who are wandering from the faith, those who have quit coming to church. Ruling that flock again with tenderness, with kindness. And so it is in Ezekiel, going on in verse 34, that God speaks of himself, that this is what he will do as the shepherd. Beginning in verse 15, he says, "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down," just as we read in Psalm 23. "I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak." Now, the most moving image, I think, of God as shepherd of his people comes from that well-known verse that we know in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, where it says of this of God, and tells the people to be comforted, and here's what you can expect from your God who will come. "He will tend his flock like a shepherd Okay? How will he tend the flock? He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. And so again, so clearly we see this tender regard, this care, this love for his people. So there's that one image there of the shepherd, that of one who provides tender care. Another that seems to come across to me is that of sacrificial service. Again, in Ezekiel, God complains that the shepherds take care of themselves at the expense of the sheep. As he says in verse 3, you eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. Now, the implication is not merely that they are to feed the sheep, but they are to feed the sheep at their own expense. That before they take care of themselves, they are thinking of the needs of their sheep, of their people. That is what's foremost to them. Furthermore, they are to take the bother, the trouble, the difficulty that's really there of going after the strays. You know, of Jesus' parable that he gives in Luke 15. When he says to them in verses 3 through 7, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Now, it takes valuable time. It is a tiring thing to have to leave your flock and go find that one that strayed. Typically, you may think, or something that we think we would be doing, is we may go after that sheep, but it's not with joy. We're grumbling at the effort that this is taking. It's time-consuming. It takes up a lot of energy. But not only does the shepherd do this, he rejoices. He rejoices particularly in finding the sheep. And he rejoices, why? Because he knows that sheep. He knows it by name, and he cares for it. And that's what we are to have that heart about. We're not just shepherds over a mass of people. But we know them one by one. We care for them. And it's because of that love, because of the care that we have for them as individuals, we make the sacrifices we need to make for them. So there is the aspect of tender care, the aspect of sacrificial service, and then there's what I call courageous protection. Again, let's go back to Psalm 23, this time in verses 4 and 5. David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now why? For you are with me. The shepherd is with him. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There he is, that sheep. He's going through this difficult path. But he can do it. Why? Because the shepherd's there. And he's going to protect him. He notes further, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And that would not typically strike to me as an image in which I would feel comfort or ease knowing that I'm sitting in their enemies who are about me. Unless I know that there is my shepherd and he's going to protect me. No one is going to attack me. No one's going to come after me because he is there. And that what that means is he's there in the dangerous times as well. He has to face these enemies. He's the one, when anyone attacks, is going to put himself in front of the sheep. David himself knows about this because he did the very same thing as a shepherd. You remember the time that he was going to fight Goliath and Saul questioned his ability to be able to do that. Well, David said, look, I've already proved myself, and this is how he proved it. He says in 1 Samuel 17, you'll find this in verse 34 to 35, your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion, or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. Now he put himself in danger, in harm's way. But that's what a shepherd does. He does whatever is needed to provide, to feed, to bind up wounds, to heal, to protect from danger. He does what is necessary. Now I want us to think on this again. This is an important concept. I want us to consider the spirit of the church. Think about this. If the members, when they think of their elders, when they just think of that term elders, not so much they got individuals in mind, but someone brings up the subject of the elders of your church, what will it do if the first image that comes to their mind is that of shepherds? They think of shepherds who tenderly provide them care. And so that when an elder calls on them, when an elder visits, when an elder comes up and speaks to them or wants to meet with them, they want to do that. They feel good because they know that that elder is going to speak to them for what is for their good, even if he has to speak to them about correction or what their sin may be. What if they're thinking about shepherds who, they think about the personal sacrifices that the elders make for their well-being, so that when they are having problems, they go into the hospital, they're sick, they're troubled, they're not saying to themselves, oh, I wish I could call my elder, but he's probably busy, and I know that he has other things to do. And no, they're thinking, you know, my elder, I could call my elder, because he'll take the time. Think furthermore of those who are thinking about, you know, my elder is there for me to protect me. Think about the women in the church, what it means for them to know that there are godly men whom they can go to who will protect them, who will protect them from abuse, protect them from what others are trying to do. They know that they have those godly shepherds. Or for that, just men and women in general, looking to the elders and seeing them, those elders, as the ones with wisdom who are going to protect the church. Now, I know the difficulty of trying to accomplish all these responsibilities of a shepherd, and particularly in a large congregation as ours that is spread out as much as it is. I know that you think, because I certainly continue to think, how can we care for so many people? And we're going to actually discuss how we can do those things. And the purpose of all these training sessions is to provide practical teaching, and not just come up with teaching of saying these are things what you should be doing, but to come up with ideas of how we will work together and be able to provide this care for the whole church, which I'm certain that we can do. But first of all, before we even get there, we must have in our minds the image of what we are to be. Ruling elders, teaching elders, as accurate as these terms may be in function, they do not lend that biblical sense of what the office is really all about. And indeed, the sense of who we are can get even further covered when we add more functional terms to what we are. Some of us are trustees. Some of us are commission and committee chairmen. And all these kind of terms, again, they may be accurate, but they lead others to see us more as kind of government officials or judges or perhaps scholars or administrators. And even worse is oftentimes what is that we ourselves lose the sense of who we are to be. And how many of us, think this way. We have parish elders, and we think in our minds, well, they are the ones who do the shepherding. And then there are the others who are the administrative elders, and they do the administrative work. They run committee meetings and watch over the affairs of the church. We have to remember and understand clearly we are all shepherds. And as such, we must all care for our sheep. Now, watching over commissions and committees, that's important work. Setting forth vision that we have been doing the last couple of years and setting church policies is important work that must be done. But we cannot lose sight that we are called foremost as elders to be shepherds of the flock and to be shepherds who personally are caring for our sheep, those sheep whom we know by name, just as our good shepherd knows us by name, just as our good shepherd tends to our welfare. So what I want us to go away with tonight is that as we think of the Lord as our shepherd, and as our flock regards our Lord, and has these thoughts, when I think about Psalm 23, for example, well, so we should be striving for our flock to see us as under-shepherds who are becoming more and more like Him, like our great shepherd, so that they feel comfort, so that they feel protected and cared for when they see us and when they hear from us. And then it's just important for our own souls as well. If all that we see ourselves as some kind of administrators and perfunctory officials of the church, and we do all this kind of important, kind of heavy work, then that's how we burn out. That's how we get discouraged. But we understand ourselves to be shepherds who are doing the same work as our Lord Jesus Christ. And that itself will make our work more meaningful. That itself will have enough impact on our own heart that what we're doing matters. It'll cause us to look on a Sunday morning as we're here in the worship service, and I'm up here in the choir loft and kind of looking, you know, down and in the pews. But as we do that and we look about, we're going to see individuals, and we're going to say to ourselves, now, I wonder how that's doing. I wonder how John's doing. I know he's been going through a difficult time lately, or I heard he may have. And so we go over there, and we're going to speak to him. We're going to try to feed him with the Word, encourage him with prayer, do something that if he's injured spiritually, we're going to try to bind up his wounds. If we see someone who's looking lonely, someone who looks a bit distressed, and we're going to want to go there and help them out. We're going to see that individual lamb. And when there are people who are calling on us, we're not going to see them as interruptions. We're going to see them as our flock. And that when they're calling us and when we're calling them and reaching out to them, we're doing what we were called to do. What God has given us, the gifts, the abilities, the experience to do. We are shepherds of God's flock, and that is a high and a holy calling. I was thinking of closing with Revelation chapter 7, and just with verse 17, but I want to read verses 13 through 17. It's the image in which John is looking at in the last days, and he's in the great throne room, and he's looking at those who are worshiping, and he sees the martyrs. And it is an elder who is beside him and asks John, you know, do you understand what's going on? Well, listen to what this elder has to say to John. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Let's remember this. The Lamb is our shepherd, and the work that he does and that he will do is he will guide us, his flock, to springs of living water. And God himself will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Well, meanwhile, he has called us as the under-shepherds to be the ones who are leading people to those streams of living water, to be the one who's drawing tears, to be the one who's giving hope, to be the ones pointing our people to the Good Shepherd, pointing to them to that day in which they will see their Good Shepherd face to face. Okay, well, that's all I have to say here in this first half hour. I'm going to take about a minute and wait to see if I've gotten any emails. I don't see any right now, but I know that John and I have been practicing this a little bit, and it's when he was sending me an email, it took a few minutes for it to get here to me. And then it takes about 30 seconds or so for you even to hear me making the conclusion here. So looking here, I don't see anything. Some more emails from John telling me the video is on. So I'll give it just a few more seconds here. And while I'm waiting, let me tell you about some of the other topics that are going to be coming up in the few weeks. I want to talk particularly about the parishes. That, of course, is our primary system through which we provide shepherding care. And, it's been difficult, as we know, in our parish system, that even when we break up into parishes, those parishes are still large. Well, we're going to look at an idea of how to use all of our elders. And something I've been saying before, I'll say again, is we tend to think we have 18 elders. Well, we actually have 36 elders. We also have, beyond those elders, we have the teaching elders, and we have a handful of other elders who have been ordained in other PCA churches or OPC churches that we can probably call upon to come to our aid. We have five other ministers in our church who we can call upon. And so we're going to seek of how we can bring the whole group whom God has called together, has given calling on each man to be shepherds, how we can work together, particularly in our parishes. I'll be talking more about Bible studies, what's going on there. I'll be bringing you up to date about the TCAs, 10th Community Assistants, and how what they will be able to do to come to your aid, to be a support for you. That's going to be a focus of mine. It's not thinking so much how to add on more things for you to do, but how to come to your assistance, how to provide that support to do this high calling that God has given us to do. So let me refresh one more time. And not seeing anything, then we'll bring it to an end. And I'll see you next Thursday.